This morning's special music is going to be sung by Brother Tony Boyd, so go ahead, come up and sing, and then after he's done, brother, go ahead, come up and preach.
I was saved at 10 years old and never understood why my mother cried all afternoon. But looking back on it, I got saved. And boy, have I sinned many times since then, and I've asked forgiveness, and he's always given it. And I am a child of the King. Once I was clothed in the rags of my sin, wretched and poor, lost and lonely within, but with wondrous compassion, the King of all kings, in pity and love, he took me under his wings. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, I'm a child of the King. His royal blood now flows in my veins, and I, who was wretched and poor, now can sing. Praise God, praise God, I'm a child of the King. Now I'm a child with a heavenly home. My holy Father has made me his own, and I'm cleansed by his blood, and I'm clothed in his love. And someday I'll sing with the angels above. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, I'm a child of the King. His royal blood now flows in my veins, and I, who was wretched and poor, now can sing. Praise God, I'm a child of the King.
Appreciate the privilege of being here this morning. If you've got your Bibles, open the book of Mark, chapter 2. It's good to meet Brother Wesley. I was aggravating him. I told him that in Grenada, they would say, I shouldn't tell him. I'm already aggravating him this morning. But in Grenada, they'd say, oh, you still have your mother's face. That's what they would say. They wouldn't say baby face. I took a preacher there one time. He's probably 35 or 40. And they said, oh, Pastor, he's still got his mama's face. And he said, what's he talking about? But it's good to meet you, brother. I enjoyed, or your pastor's been my friend for, I guess, about 12 years since we met. And I don't get to go to as many of the preacher's fellowships as we used to. So I enjoy being here this morning. And I appreciate all that he and this church has done for us over those years in our service for the Lord Jesus Christ. Our desire is to make much of him. Amen. I understand I'm not much. But when you look beyond what I am, I'm a child of the King. Amen. I'm a King's kid. I'm somebody headed somewhere. Some thought I'd never make anything in school, and I didn't make a lot, but I tell you what, God has changed my life, made a difference. Give me something worth doing. Amen. I've got a worthwhile task telling others about Jesus Christ. We went up to Wilkes Correctional last night. It's an hour and a half so from the house, and only three men come out because there's some kind of college ball game or something going on, they said, and one of the fellas was complaining. He said, man, he said, I don't know where all these young guys are. The camps kind of change over time to time. And he said, they're all down there watching college ball. And I said, well, I'm glad y'all three come. That's five of us. I'll see y'all next month. Amen. And I said, well, why would you do that? Well, that's because I've got a task to do. Those three men want something from the Lord. And God's burdened our heart to give it to them. Amen. And our desire is to carry the gospel to them. And I can't save them. Amen. I tell them, I said, look, I couldn't even save myself, but I can tell you who changed my life. I can tell you who can, and that's what we try to do. That's our desire, to make much of the Lord. And I appreciate, again, the privilege this morning of being here. If you found your place in Mark chapter 2, would you stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God if you're able this morning? And we'll read the first five verses of this chapter. Very familiar passage of Scripture. Mark chapter 2, verse 1. The Bible says, "And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house." It's always exciting, amen. It was noise that he was in the house. "And straightway many were gathered together in so much that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them, and they come to him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four." Verse number 4 says, "And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed whereon the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith," that's interesting, isn't it? "He said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." Father, we love you this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of standing, proclaiming, "Thus saith the Lord today." God, I pray you direct and guide in our lives and our hearts. I pray you bless the reading, the preaching, the hearing, and receiving of the word of God today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. Honor the reading of the word of God. We have a story here. It's very familiar. I was looking at it some months ago now, and I want to preach to you this morning a simple thought on this. Will you carry your corner? Will you carry your corner? As I was looking at this passage of Scripture, I said some months ago now, I come across an article that was in the USA Today called We Carry Kevin. And I thought about this, and I want to read you a few things about it, kind of get into our message this morning. The man's name is Kevin Chandler, 32 years old. Says, during the summer of 2015, he and a group of friends spent 3 weeks backpacking through Europe, and they have plans to explore China in just a couple of months. But here's the extraordinary part. Kevin can't walk. He's never taken a single step, but his friends carried him through Europe on their backs, and it started a worldwide movement, We Carry Kevin, that's gaining momentum by the day. That kind of piqued my interest as I was reading this article. And he said the hardest part growing up was with this challenge, he adds, was getting weaker through the years. In fact, it's still something he deals with, a disease he has that's affecting his ability to walk. And it said, Kevin, who has a degree in counseling with a focus in prison ministry, spends his time raising awareness and breaking down barriers for other specially abled people. About 3 years ago, he planned a visit to Europe with his friends, but wanted to do non-wheelchair accessible things. And I thought that was pretty neat. His four friends said, we developed a backpack for my friends to carry me around. They were four guys carrying me and two guys filming it. For 3 weeks, they backpacked through Europe with no wheelchair. People were asking questions as they traveled, so the guys decided to develop their nonprofit, We Carry Kevin, with Answers for the World. Their message, it was basically a cooperative effort of people helping people, making that more practical and making it more of a reality for people to embrace. Here's the last thing he said, really struck my heart as I was studying this message some time back. He said, the most empowering part of everything with the guys was literally being able to go in places I wouldn't be able to go. It's been enriching in two ways. They've never done it with the mindset of this is a service to Kevin. More so, we are just a group of guys on an adventure. Also, when you do these things and crawl through a sewer and climb a mountain, you come out with a mindset, anything is possible. The world is accessible if we're willing to get creative with it. That just sets you free. That allows a disabled community to feel a sense of freedom and strength and empowerment to do anything. As I was studying this message on Carry Your Corner, I thought, here's a young man. There was six, and I've got pictures. I printed all this stuff out so I'd have it. I've done learn sometimes you can't go back and find things when you read them, and at least not with my limited ability for internet, but it's challenging sometimes. But I noticed even in the pictures, the two cameramen are not pictured. Those four guys that carried him are. Yet he made sure to mention them and said it's a group of us, it's a team that had a desire to do something one man couldn't do by himself. And it would have been hard for one of his friends to have made that trip himself. But I just thought as I was studying this passage, it was interesting. He said I had four friends that took turns, in essence, they took turns carrying him so they could adventure and see the world together. And friend, missions is a lot like that. Missions is a group of God's people getting together for a common cause so that we can do things we could not do by ourselves and that we could not do alone. And that sometimes, just like those two cameramen, there's people involved in this missions that are never really seen at this point. I believe all my heart God's keeping the record, and one day God will make it known. But if I could challenge you this morning anything, will you carry your corner? Will you do your part? You see, I can't do it all, and you can't do it all. I tell people almost every Sunday I go to church and preach, I couldn't get up and do what I did, except some of you get up every morning early. You go to work. You get home late, and you get up the next day and do it again. And you do that week in and week out so that I can travel all over the place and preach the gospel. And what I do, you do. That's what he said. I didn't do this by myself. It was a 7-man team that did this together. When we go to Guyana this next week, or in 2 weeks, we'll spend the first week with two of our men and then fly into the jungle, the bush plane to Port Katuma. And my desire and my goal is to have fruit that may abound in your account, to be able to go there and see people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We'll go back into the prisons there in Tamari and preach again. Listen, will you carry your corner? Let's look here at our text this morning. And we see this man had a palsy. The loss, the Bible says, Webster's Dictionary tells us, or defect of the power of voluntary muscular motion. He could not carry himself. He could not get to Jesus alone. But there was four men, four friends that had a burden, had a desire to help him get to Jesus. Somehow or another, they believed if they could get their friend to Jesus Christ, he could give them the help they needed. And they were willing to put forth the effort that this morning. Amen. We see the man's problem. He had a palsy. He had a disease that would keep him from being able to get help on his own. As we go into these places, a lot of the countries that are going, and as the preacher's talking about there, the place he's talking about going, I don't even know where it's at, but I'd like to go with him. Amen. I'll go carry water for him while he preaches, friend, and try to see somebody coming on Jesus Christ. Amen. But there was four men, by the way, we don't even know their names. They weren't too concerned about being on the marquee somewhere, were they? Or about being in the limelight. They were concerned about their friend. His problem was that of palsy. His problem was that he couldn't walk. And his despair was he couldn't get to Jesus alone. But he had some friends that said, I tell you what, if we could just get him to Jesus, I believe we could get him some help. And we've seen that over and over again. People that couldn't nobody help us. We knew prison ministry now starting our 19th year. Friend, I tell you, we've seen people that the world, that society, and the government has said that we're through with them. We're done with them, but God can change their life. Some of those men right now today are serving God this morning. Amen. Brother Rollo Roberts there in Lincolnton, he went down and was facing a long time. He gives his testimony about how much of a rascal he was even inside of prison. But several years before he was released, God got a hold of Rollo's heart, and God changed his life. And then it worked out. He got saved. And people began to ask, what happened to you, man? You're different, even on the inside of prison. He said preachers would come in and tell me the story of Jesus. And God worked in my heart. God changed my life. He got out early. Somehow or another, that's how God works sometimes. And he's now traveling around telling others what God did for him. This man at this point in his life, he couldn't do that. He had a severe problem. He had a palsy. He had a disease. He was in despair. The Bible said in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, whereas by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death had passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Whether you believe that or not, that's still a fact. You can change and take it out of your Bible, but this one still has the truth. This one still tells us that we're sinners. This one still tells us that we need a Savior. And there was four men that got together that morning. And they said, you know, we heard Jesus. It's noised abroad that the Lord's around. And maybe they had heard about some of the things he had done. We don't know. But they said, if we can just get him to Jesus. You know, listen, I don't care how bad the situation is. I think about Renee. I prayed for her this morning. I mentioned, asked you to pray for that teenage girl. I believe full of devils. I believe she's demon possessed. But it's not anything too hard for the Lord. The God of heaven can reach right down to Guam, even though I don't have to be there. God can go there where she's at and cast the devils out of her heart. Move into her soul and change her life. I believe that. These four men had a passion. We see the men's problem. Secondly, we see the men's passion. They were dedicated. Amen. You get four men working together. I read a post, preacher, I guess somebody maybe moved something yesterday. He's talking about thankful for the men that came and couldn't use more help. I know you knew someone here 7 months ago and had a lot of help, and it went by quick. You see, that's what it is in missions. God's going to get his job done, but it sure does make it easier when there's a lot of help.
Right.
It makes it easier when we all work together. These four men got dedicated and said, you know what? One guy there said, Brother Weston, I admire your youth, man. I remember when I was younger, my body was a whole lot different in those days. I grabbed something up, man. I ain't even going to look trying to grab it today. I got better sense than trying to pick. I can't do it no more. But I can still do something.
Amen.
Amen. I got a son, and now I've got some teenage grandsons. And I'll call him, hey, y'all busy? Got a task force. I don't ask him to do it yourself, but I can't do it. Maybe one man had a burden. We don't know. We're not told. But the long and short of it was four men got involved, and they carried four corners. They were dedicated. They were working together. And friend, if we're ever going to accomplish what God wants us to do as a church, we're going to have to work together.
Amen.
Amen. It takes everybody doing their part. I'm doing mine by the grace of God. I'm giving more to missions now than I ever have. I would not ask for mission support if I did not support missions.
Amen.
I started supporting missions when I was 12 years old. I got my first public job. I've told this before, but I like telling it because listen, you did what? You see, my daddy gave to missions all his life. Back at Providence Road Baptist Church in Maiden, where I grew up, the mission offering was a yellow offering. And when I got my first $25 check for my first week's work, hey man, y'all remember those days? I was so excited I couldn't wait. Went and made a down payment on a pair of black Aggie cowboy boots and paid my tithes. And I asked my daddy, I said, what's that yellow envelope for? I didn't know. He said, son, that's my missions money. I give that to missions. I said, well, I want to do that too. So I started giving to missions at 12 years of age. First job, first paycheck. And I've been giving ever since.
Amen.
Matter of fact, I'm already praying about what to do. I've been praying for a month and a half now. I start our mission conference. I'll be preaching it tonight through Wednesday at our church. We've got some that won't come because they're afraid. And I'm like, man, if they could just understand what God can do. If you could just grasp what God, that I heard it said many years ago, God will give through you what he may not give to you. God will help you in that matter. Friend, I've decided I just want to do what God wants me to do. It don't always make sense. Sometimes it don't always budget out, but it's always been right.
Amen.
These four men, they were dedicated. Then these four men made a decision. I tell you what, we've got to get this our friend to Jesus. If we can just get it to the Lord. You see, dedication is good, but you've got to make a decision to do something. You've got to have a plan. You've got to have a pattern, a path, something, or we'll just sit here and be dedicated and not accomplish anything. Amen. It takes getting up. We had a young man sitting on the front row in a church. If I called it, brother, your pastor knows this young man. He's in Florida now. And every time I'd go there, he'd say, boy, Brother Joe, I want to do like you. And I finally told him one day, I said, well, son, you got to get off the pew. You want to do like me. I ain't sat still, man. I'm going to keep moving. And long story was, he did. You can do some prison ministry, different things. But it didn't happen until he got off the pew. He was dedicated. He was all, every time I made it, preacher, he was always there. But it wasn't until he made a decision to do something about it that God can do something in your life. You see, if you go back and check me out, folks, you're looking at one of the least likely to succeed. But God let me travel the world. I didn't want to travel, but God wants me to travel. Like I said, I've been telling people, I think we're done this year. This trip come up, we're taking. I said, well, God just had a trip I hadn't found out about yet. But when he made me know it, I said, okay, I'll go. See, that's my part. That's my responsibility. They made a decision. Well, if we can just get him to Jesus. Amen. Then they were diligent. They were diligent. Well, they faced some problems. Then look here. Verse number 2 says, and straightway, many were gathered together insomuch there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word. Well, I believe they could hear him. They could hear the gospel. That's what somebody said, my voice carries. You may not understand me, but you can usually hear me. Amen. And I remember we went in the Bahamas the first time. No electricity, no running water. We had a diesel generator. We'd use about 4 hours a day. And I was filling in for a missionary while he was on furlough. And after about 3 or 4 months, a lady next door come one day and just sat down in church. And you were an pastor. I said, man, good to see you. He said, well, I've done heard I had to hear him preach for the last 4 months. Apparently, he'll come on to church. She was sitting in her house next door. And we didn't have no PA. We didn't have no microphone. Amen. But God, give me a built-in message. Amen. I tell you what, the Bible says, lift up your voice like a trumpet, praise the Lord. Listen, we have an obligation, and I believe they heard him, but they couldn't get to him. They said, we've got to get this man to Jesus. They had diligence. They didn't let the crowd stop them. Sometimes they said, well, I would go if it wasn't for this. And I'll be honest, I don't like crowds. I've been a loner most of my life. Most of you know I'm next oldest of seven siblings. Six of us still remain. I still don't. We'll have Thanksgiving, and I'll go and set the chair somewhere. You can be alone in a crowd. I promise you, I don't figure that out. And I'm okay with that. I like to watch all the festivities, especially when the grandkids are around, amen. But they said we've got to be busy. And I tell y'all, I've got a 15-year-old grandson started preaching about 10 months ago. Wanting to go to mission field. He preached his first message at our church on It's a Call to the Wall. I mean, my soul, I thought I could preach that now. He'd been studying. He's going to Bible college with his daddy Monday nights. He said, Papa, when are you going to take me to the mission field? I told Beck we're going to start, matter of fact, Lord willing, in January, getting his passport. I told those folk down in Grenada this year, I said, maybe God will let us come next year. I bring my grandson and him to the preaching, 16-year-old boy. Hey, I'm telling you what, I told him, I said, son, I want you to, Papa can't call you, Daddy can't call you, but if God's called you, I want you to stay busy. Do something for the Lord. Amen. Amen. They're diligent. So he let the crowd stop him. I told him, I said, buddy, you're going to find things in a, that, you know, these people still don't think I can make it. These folks still ain't sure I got what it takes, and I ain't either. But then I found out I got Jesus, and that's all I need. Amen. I didn't have all the education. I graduated high school. I'm the only one out of seven siblings that graduated high school. Wasn't a big priority in our home growing up. I'm the only one out of my family that's graduated from Bible college. And if it didn't take, it's not Dr. Seidler's fault. It's my fault. Amen. I did get a good education. But if it didn't take, it's not Tabernacle's fault. It's mine. But I'm just saying, I would never invest to go nowhere, but God burdened my heart. By the grace of God, I will be diligent. These men, look what they did, verse 3. They come to him bringing one sick of the palsy which was born of four, and when they could not, verse 4, come nigh to him for the press, they uncovered the roof. They uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed whereon the sick of the palsy lay. Boy, I think about their determination, amen. They said, a lot of times we say, well, I tried, preacher. And we do, don't we do that a lot? I tried, but it didn't work. Man, they tried to go through the door, and that didn't work. Apparently, they walked around the house. There wasn't no way to get in that way. And look, many of the homes, they tell us the reed would have been flat. And most of them would have a set of steps some way going up. And one of the four said, now, I know where we can get to him. We can hear him. We'll get this man to him. They go up on the roof, and they still can't see him. And I've heard and read many people say, well, they just rolled back a carpet. They rolled back this. The Bible says they broke up the roof. They were determined. We're going to get this man to Jesus. But you understand, when you do that, there's a cost involved. I believe these men, if they were godly men, they were good men, realize if we tear up this roof, we've got to put it back.
Amen.
Amen. We've got to, there's some cost. You see, doing missions is expensive. I know somebody said, Brother Joe, you just fly everywhere. I don't really want to, but I can't walk that far. I mean, they didn't try to ponder and see how that's worked out. Amen. Sorry. Georgetown, Guyana, start whatever, and I don't know if they've got Christmas the next day. They're already setting up meetings for us. He said, preacher, I don't want to tire you out. I said, brother, that's why I come. Hey, man, I want to stay busy. I want to stay faithful. These four men made a difference in one man's life because they had dedication. They had a decision. We're going to serve. You see, your pastor and your church these days are deciding, what are you going to do next year? How are we going to add to? Are we going to have to take away? I know my pastor's heart, he wants to add to, but he can't do what's not there. And that's where we come in. We work together. You see, we've got 44 missionaries, I think, and I've got a little part in all of them. Not a big part, but a little part in all of them do my missions giving. And when they go over in all the different places and God changes lives and God saves souls, we, our church, has a little part in that. Everywhere we go, this church has a little part in what God's doing. In the countries that we go into, the jails and the prisons that we go into. When those men last night said, preacher, said, don't quit coming. I said, I don't plan to, as long as they don't kick me out. By the grace of God. Hey, listen, we need more help. We need more men just like these four that not only give, but will go. Well, see, you know what? I'll give up my Thanksgiving. I'll give up my Christmas. I'll give up whatever it is so that I can serve the Lord Jesus Christ for these people for Christ. Are we with him?
Amen.
I believe God's still calling, but are we listening? Are we ready to go? I see all these young men. I'm glad y'all sitting right here. Amen. I'd love to take a group of y'all down there. Amen. We went down and made block, clean brush, and all that kind of stuff. Those guys know I have a background in building, so usually they say, can we do this, preacher, while you're here? Amen. I've got pictures of working on electricity. I am not an electrician. I love electricity. I just don't like it when it gets a hold of me. Amen. And somehow or another, I used to wind up grabbing the wrong wire. I'm not making sure everything's loose. I was working on a fan one day and had to plug in my lap, and it shocked me. Now, that burned me up. I didn't know that capacitor held electricity. An electrician explained that to me. Now, I spin the blade before I go touch anything, amen, to release it. I didn't know how to fix everything, but I tried. I figured it ain't working now. All I can do is make it worse. Throw it away. I can't make it no worse. It's not working. Sometimes we let little things stop. So I can't do this. It's just, you know, we don't do this today. I'm still doing stuff we don't do today. Amen. Hey, they didn't raise rabbits down in Grenada. They didn't raise chickens so much, but some of them do now. They're eating better too, amen. Hallelujah. That's one thing y'all look at. I ain't starving. We went down to Guyana a couple years ago, went by the market and bought a hog, a piece of hog, and made some sausage, amen. So I'm going to have sausage in my eggs, hallelujah. Brung the grinder myself. We hand ground that stuff. And I talked to some people there. They wanted to know. They'd eat the sausage up here. Said, how do you do that? I said, I'll show you. That's all part of it. I mean, preaching's an important part, but all this other stuff is involved, you see. Amen. We built a pulpit and a podium. Was there last time? Ships and tools in a barrel to Guyana last year. And we got there. We got them out of the barrel and used them. Built something for the preacher. Do something for the Lord. You see that? Oh, that's not popular. Well, who cares what's popular? I want to do what's needed. These men, I guarantee you, you're going to tear up a man's house roof. It wasn't popular in his day either, but it was needed to get this man to Jesus. The Bible says there in 1 Chronicles 21:24. And as King David said to Ornan, nay, but I will verily buy it for thee a full price, for I will not take that which is thine for the Lord, nor offer burnt offerings without cost. Here's the problem. A lot of times we won't give something to God, don't cost us anything. Yes. If you truly give to God, you truly serve the Lord, it's going to cost you something. I can say that 34 years down the line. But I tell you what, I wouldn't trade where I've been and what God's let me do for nothing in the world. I praise him for that. Then the master's power, give you this thought as we close. Amen. We see the man's problem, the man's passion, but the master's power in verse number 5. When he saw, whose faith did he see there? He saw their faith. You see, those four men, they believed in God. They said, we just get this man to Jesus, he can get some help. And the Bible says when God saw their faith, we understand he put his faith in the Lord as well, but he was looking at the men. Hey, there's people that all those missionaries on the line, all those that maybe we don't want to be added, they're looking to us. God's looking to see if we have enough faith that we keep it going. We have enough faith that we continue. When he saw their faith, the Bible says here in verse 5. When he saw their faith, he said, for the sake of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven. We see here the Lord saw. We see the Lord spoke. And we see the Lord saved. I told you a little bit about some of the things we've had happen this year. It's always a blessing when those youngins that were kids come back 20 years later and say, preacher, right here's where I was when I got saved. Here's what you was doing when I got saved. Here's what happened when I got saved. What a blessing that God's let me live to the age of 55 and see that. Let me ask you this morning, will you carry your corner? I want to carry mine. I don't know who's on the bed today. It might be your loved one. It might be your dear. It might be some precious family member. It might be somebody in the deepest part of Africa. Cameroon right now is in a mess. I mean, they're battling going on. Y'all pray for me. I haven't seen mom since the fact that I was going. They've been having a few shootings in Guyana. Mom gets all upset when her son's going. The last time she tried to give me a bit, I said, Mom, will you pray God would call one of your four boys to preach? And he did. And I got to go. She said, son, I'll be praying. She's got a little touch of dementia now, 72 years old, and don't always remember, but I've been waiting. I hadn't faced her yet with the fact we're going back. But I've got to go. I don't have a choice. I told my wife, I said, I just feel like God's calling us. She said, go. So I've got my corner. And we already started to pack so we can be ready to fly. What about you? Will you carry your corner? You see, if we're going to get the task accomplished in 2018, 2019, and on, as God allows us, it's going to take us all working together. Everybody can't go. If everybody went, who would sin? If everybody went, who would take care of this little area? Who would help this preacher? Who would help this man of God? Who would help? Who would reach out, my brother Wesley, with the youth? Who would work with the? See, somebody's got to keep these coming along. We need more preachers. We need more teachers. But there's no greater call or commission or command than to bring others to Jesus. The greatest task and the greatest exciting, most exciting thing in my life is for somebody to come and know Christ. Amen. It takes personal faith. We're going to carry you a corner, church. It's going to take personal faith. It's going to take partnering faith. It's going to take pardoning faith. Amen. We don't all do everything the same. I understand I'm different. I understand I'm country. I know that. I'm okay with that. I just hope you're okay with me being that way. Man, let me be my way. I'm not a city dude. I don't fit in the city. Some of you wouldn't fit in the country. I understand that. It takes all of us carrying our corner, carrying, staying in our place, taking care of our position, doing what God's given us to do. That's what it's going to happen. It takes praying faith. Will you pray for us? I know many of you do. Then it takes practicing faith. These men put their faith into practice, didn't they? They heard him, they believed him, and they said, we're going to give this man to Jesus. And I can just see the roof falling, the Lord's preaching. I had chickens get loose in the last trip, but I ain't had the roof fall in on me yet. I preached that day, hey, when the roof was missing, but it didn't fall on me. You hear, they're tearing up the roof because they've got to believe that they can just get this man to see Jesus. God took care of business. Amen. People are dying, church. The last days are here. They're coming. Will you carry your corner? Will you keep helping us? Will you keep helping all these others? Just like Kevin, we carry Kevin. It's not one man. It's a group. It's a team. It's God's people working together to get the gospel out around the world. Amen. Brother Joe, I mentioned this. I close. Brother Joey said he could. I put this little video online last night. He said he would put it somewhere where y'all can see it. Hear the music, hear some of the translating there at the end where there's six of us talking and enjoy that and some other things as we go along. But I'm grateful for everything you do for us. But listen, what are you going to do this year? See, this year is almost gone, isn't it? I never thought I'd live. I thought 2000, and that'd be it, and I'm 2018. Here we're still kicking along, 55 years old. I wonder how many more years I've got left. I want to give them all to him. I'd rather spend my life doing what I'm doing right now and be a millionaire and die and go to hell or die without the Lord. You see, you can't put a price tag on these folks coming back and say, preacher, I know where I was when you led me to Jesus. 20 years later, they're still serving. That's evident. God did it and I didn't, amen, because they're still serving the Lord. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I love you this morning. Thank you for, Lord, just a sweet spirit and precious group of people. Lord, I pray this morning you'd help us to carry our corner, to accept our responsibility. Lord, I'm accepting mine as best I can. I pray for my brothers and sisters here that God would work in their lives as well. Bless you, people, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.